Sure. Hello, everyone. My name's Rian. Like Kala said, I didn't think this is going to come for me. Kala, thanks. Before I start, I just have two people that I felt this morning just got highlight. And the first one, Charles, we were spending some time together a little bit in the background last night. And he was singing. And as he was singing, when I heard his voice the first time, I just felt something really like an anointing of God over your voice. And we chatted a little bit, and he just shared some of his journey in terms of leading worship. But I want to encourage you, Shaul, that God has got like really a special grace on your voice. And it's not something that you're going to have to produce, or you're going to have to, in some ways, work up within yourself. But I just felt like the Lord is just saying, Shaul, just take a rest. I will do it. And I just felt the Lord saying, like, you will produce and authenticate just the anointing that is placed on your voice. And so I want to encourage you to give yourself to that, but you don't have to make room for you, for yourself. Like, he will come and he will open up the door and the right places. You just keep your eyes on him, and he's going to come and do some things around that. Okay. And then Stuart, I don't think you know that I know you, but I know you through other people, just what you do. And I felt this morning the Lord showed me a picture of like wooden slats that is laid on the floor, and it's almost like they stacked up. And I felt like the Lord said the wooden slats is drying and it's climatizing. And like, I don't know what that means. I'm not a wood guy or a carpenter. So I just looked a little bit on what it means. And there's a couple of things that why you need to dry wood. It's so that you can build with it, so that it doesn't swell or shrink. That once you've built with it and you put it in place, if it swells, it breaks. If it shrinks, it makes a hole. And it's kind of like if you skip the part of drying and the part of climatizing the wood, it ends up, whatever you're building, ends up being something that becomes a hazard. You're both the one using it or that's part of it, like structural damage kind of like stuck out to me. And I just felt like the Lord is saying, like, Stuart, you, like the Lord is almost like it's like a plank that he's got you as, and he's drying and climatizing you. And there's a swelling and there's a shrinking. But all the while, the Lord is preparing that atmosphere and letting you climatize to where he wants to build you at. So that in the point where he builds you into whatever it is, that there's not any damage or structural damage, and that those occupants that the Lord wants to build you, obviously part of his house, that the occupants of his house actually enjoy it and not get hurt by it. And I just want to encourage you to also, in the same vein as Shaul, just to rest in it. Because I felt like the Lord is saying, like, hey, I've got you. And I've got you actually in a perfect place where I'm climatizing you to my presence. I'm climatizing you to my spirit. So just rest in it. I've got you. Like, you're a piece of wood in my hands. Don't worry. He is really Jesus was a carpenter, you know. And, yeah, I think you too, eh? So I just want to encourage you with that. Amen. Cool. Can we quickly maybe just stretch out our hands to these two guys? Father, we thank you just for your word. We thank you that you are the one that speaks. And even though we see in part, God, but you are ultimately one that accomplishes your word. And I pray over these two men, God, that you will come and accomplish your word and your will over their lives. And we pray, Father, that just for us as the family of believers around them, that we will consistently encourage them towards your will, towards your ways, and towards what your plan is and how you want to build them into your family. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Cool. So, as you heard, my name is Rian. I was a wrestler a very long time ago. But it's really a privilege for me to be here with all of you guys this morning. Like Kala said, we really have come a long way, and it's been such a blessing. And I think even just standing here this morning, it's a blessing for me and a privilege to be able to be here with Kala and Marku. They have, I knew Kala before he was married, And it's beautiful to see the man that he has become. So even for me, and it's a lot of it is due to Naku. She's done an amazing job. And I knew Naku before she was married to Kala, and never understood what happened and how they got together. But the Lord had a plan, and it was a beautiful plan. But they have really tread deep things in my heart, especially Kala. I'm thankful for that. Before I carry on, my wife Helen, beautiful wife, sitting here, and we've got our three daughters, 10, 8, and 5, that's there in the kiddies area. We've been married almost 15 years, and we are serving in the Edgemeet congregation, and it's like, yeah, it's a joy. But just to get back to Kala, I want to encourage you that Kala and Naku is such a unique and a special gift. And I'm not trying to, they didn't pay me, and they can maybe later still, hopefully. but they are such a special gift to the body. And I want to encourage you that you don't miss out on who they are and like what they have to give. Something that I found in my own life is I oftentimes think back of the classes and the times spent with Kala, and just where it was really something of Jesus that I tasted and could take. And I want to encourage you to do everything you can to draw as close to them as possible so that you can draw every little bit of Jesus out of them, because that is what they are here for. And in that, I want to encourage you. Scripture tells us that we need to consistently pray for our leaders. And we need to make their job a joy. And I think from what we have heard, it's like actually they are enjoying you as a church. And so I want to say well done to you. But at the same time, don't grow weary in doing good. Continue and increase in the way that you are serving them. But pray for them and then draw from them. Because one day when they are not here, and it's not like they're going to die, but the Lord moves and like, or when you're not here anymore, you're going to realize, oh, that time was such a key time in my life. And so make sure that you take all of it that it's got. Amen. Cool. So for this morning, I felt a word for you as Stellenbosch AM. When Kala asked me to come, I immediately just something dropped in my heart. And it's the word don't settle. I felt for you as Stellenbosch. And I think in that, my prayer this morning is that you will come to a deeper understanding, not that you don't, but that there will be a deeper understanding, a deepening and a widening, an opening up of your understanding of how much God loves you. And then from that place, how actually He is so interested in you walking with Him and accomplishing with Him His kingdom and His will here on earth. His plans and His purposes. And I really trust that as we end off here today, that there will be such an even greater burning and a desire to say, God, we want to see Your kingdom come. God, we want to see Your will be done here on earth, God. And we're giving our lives. And I think in some ways, God has already been through, is it Justine, you know, been speaking just about His love. And I think it's beautiful to see that. And so if you are doing it this morning, don't kind of like, okay, no, we know this, shut off. But actually go like, Lord, there probably is something more and something deeper that You want me to see. Because and I believe that's for all of us, no matter where we are in our walk with God, there's always more of God for us to come into, for us to understand, for us to walk with God. We don't want to be those that ever go like, no, actually, I've seen enough, I've heard enough, or I know enough. No, actually, when we get in that place, that's when pride rules in our hearts. We want to be those that are humble, that are always coming to the Lord and say, Lord, we want to know, we want to see. And so I want to encourage you this morning. It's going to potentially be a little bit different than what you are used to. Hello, we've got the angel sitting here on the roof, it seems. But yeah, so this morning I want to encourage you with kind of like the famous words. of Dr. Zeus. Where he says, oh, the places you will go. Don't settle. Oh, the places that you will go. And I believe it's God's heart this morning to ignite something in our hearts to walk with him. And I want to help us go on that journey. I think throughout Scripture, we see many names of God being pointed out and given. And it often expresses God's nature and who he is, how he is doing things, what he says about himself. But there's a specific name this morning that I want you to just keep in the back of your mind. And in the Old Testament, God kind of like brought it as one of those points of a shadow of what is to come. And then in the New Testament, again, Jesus was named this. It's Emmanuel. And that word Emmanuel means God with us. And I believe that from the beginning of time, from the beginning when everything was in place, that was one of God's thing, is wanting to be God that is with us and us that is with God. And this morning, I want us to step into that and actually go, Lord, I don't just want to be a Christian. I don't just want to do my own thing. God, I actually want to contend for in every part of my life that I am with you and that you are with me. There's a story. My wife is, I think, fifth generation from Andrew Murray. And there's a story. I had to drop it. Yeah, it's like just, I'm joking. But there's a story that Andrew Murray, like in a time of like where Wellington and Worcester and those areas were going through a revival in the early 1900s, where Andrew Murray was walking, speaking to someone in Church Street. And he was walking and this other guy was speaking to him. I can't remember. It's also some famous dude was speaking to him. And as he was speaking to him, he kept on walking kind of just, and he realized Andrew Murray is not with him anymore. And he looked back, and he went to Andrew Murray, and he said to Andrew Murray, like, hey, what happened? And Andrew Murray said to him, for a moment there, I felt like the Lord is not with me. And Andrew stopped. And there's something of that this morning that I'm really trusting for, that we wouldn't settle, but that we would say, God, we contend for you with us in every area of our lives, in everything that we do. We want to contend for you with us. Let me pray quickly before I go too far down the line. Father, I want to thank you, Holy Spirit, just even in this moment. I want to thank you, Lord, that you've been working and you've been drawing us in this morning into where it is you want to take us. And I pray for us here this morning. I pray for each and every one of us to submit ourselves, to submit our thoughts, our feelings, God, to your holy name. And we pray, really like Kala has already prayed in some ways, like, Lord, have your way in us. And so I pray as your word comes, God, that each and every one of us would find something of your whisper and of your voice, God, and that would sink into our hearts. And I trust you for revelation in each and every one of our hearts this morning, of what it is that you're saying and what it is that you are calling us to. In Jesus' name. And so in Genesis 3, we know the story of where God created man and female, okay? Genesis 2 and then Genesis 3. But in Genesis 3, we know Adam and Eve, they were a little bit stout, and God is coming into the garden. And it's something here that I want to just drop with us. And Genesis 3 verse 8 says this: Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, Where are you? Now Adam responded in this. And he said to God, God, I heard you coming, I heard you walking, and I was fearful for who you are, and so therefore we hid away. Now the thing for us this morning is this. There was an understanding and an experiential knowledge of the sound of God's footsteps that Adam knew. And he knew it because it was something that he had experienced. It was something that he had known. It must have been because of something that he would have done with God, is walked with God and been with God. And so when he heard that footstep of God coming into the garden, and he knew what just happened, he hid himself away. And this morning, I want to ask us the first question I want to ask us is this. Where you are right now, do you still recognize the footsteps of God in your life? Do you still hear him coming, him approaching, him walking? And when you hear him, are you running to him? Or are you finding a place to just hide away? Because I think this morning there's a couple of different, we're all in different spaces. And for some of us, we have lost the voice, we've lost the sound of what his footsteps sound like. But for some of us, we hear it and we hide away. And God is actually calling all of us to both recognize his voice, his footsteps, and then run to him and join him. Because the place that he has set out for us, the place that we've been singing about, that he's made the way, the cross is empty, the grave is empty, he's made the way, Jesus is alive, he's made the way for us to not just hear it and recognize it, but actually what he wants for you and for me is to walk with him in the cool of the day, to know him, to experience him, to be where he is, where he is going, and go with that. So, my first point this morning is God loves us. And I know we know this. It's like, I feel in some ways, this message this morning, it's not, Stellenbosch is this lighthouse of thought and intelligence and people really seeking to, you know, people of the mind. But I find God to be not there. And so this morning potentially is going to frustrate you. And it's going to be something as simple as God loves you. And the depths of God loving you, I want to say to you, no mind can figure that out. There's no dreaming that can estimate how big that really is, or how powerful that is, or to which ends God will go to show you and me that he really loves you. And it is for us to come into that place of where we actually just receive it, and we allow it to come and wash over us, and put aside the thing, not try and earn it, not try and show everyone that I understand that God loves me. I don't care for people to see that I know that God loves me. Is if I can get more of the love of God, I'm going to run to it, because why not? Amen? The world tries and measure our worth by output. Jesus doesn't. Before we prayed, before we served, before we gave ourselves, before you tithed, before you've done anything, read your Bible, anything, you were already wanted by him. You were already in a place where you were seen by him, where you were loved by him. And so in saying that God loves us, I want to say to you, it's got absolutely nothing to do with where, even if you receive it or not, he loves you. He loves you. And I know that it's, God doesn't wait until you're impressive and you really understand the depths of theology or scripture or know how to prophesy. No, he loves you as much in understanding nothing versus understanding everything, being able to speak with the tongues of angels and prophesy. He loves you all the same. And he calls you his own. just as you are here in this moment. And something I felt like the Lord showed me, it's not a word that I have ever used, but it came out for me. Genesis 1, 26. And then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind, that's you and me, in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. God created everything, and after every day of creating, he said, it is good. But the reality was, it was not yet done. And on the sixth day, after God kind of seen everything, he looked probably at everything and go like, "There's still, it's not done yet." And that's where he came. And the only thing that he said that he would create in his own image, in his likeness, is you and me. And at that moment, I felt like what the Lord showed me is that we became his love project. It's like, it's this moment where he created a whole world and everything. And in that moment, he looked at what he wanted to do, and he took us and he created us to actually be that thing, that the purpose of everything that was created was for that moment when he created us, so that he can put us in there, enjoy us, see us enjoy his creation and be like him. It's like to be like him, to rule over the birds of the air and the animals. It's like there was something of his likeness. He created something that was like him, and in his likeness, we became his love project. And this morning, you might be sitting here and going like, not really understanding or even feeling that God's signature is on you. I love Toy Story. Like, it's one of my favorite movies. And there's something about that the boy Andy, where he writes his name on the foot of the toys, because it's his. And I want to say to you this morning, God loves you. And your name, his name, is on your foot. His signature is in your life. He made you for him. He made you so that you can know him, love him, walk with him, be all about him. He made you. No matter how you feel you got here, or that it was someone's choice or someone's mistake, or like, I want to say to you, that is the enemy trying to come and say to you something that is just trying to take your focus away. This morning, if you can understand that God loves you, I want to say to you, nothing else matters after that point. Ephesians 3 says this. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And just to stop there quickly, we know this and we believe it, but do we really understand that we come from him? Our name, our nature, who we are, it all comes from that moment in the beginning where he said, let us make man in our likeness. We are like his prized possession. Verse 16, he says, Paul speaking, he says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, like that's God's heart, that we are rooted and established in love, in his love. He's the author of love. He is love itself. His heart is that we might know him in that place, that would be all that we're about, is that God, you love us. May have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. and to know that this love surpasses knowledge. It's plain and simple. It's hiding in plain sight. It's not complicated. He loves you. That you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. It's not theology. It's not understanding Greek and Hebrew and Latin. It's not deep mysteries. No, it's actually the fullness of God is caught in the place that actually He loves us. God's heart for you and for me, first and foremost, in everything and through everything, is that we would know the fullness of His love. And that is not something that we can build up or rev up or try and read books about. No, it's actually a thing of where we need to come and allow Him and say, God, I want to give you my all. Over and over and over. Because there's a fullness, there's a measure that He wants to come and bring us into. Everything that we do, the love of God is the sustaining force where we live from. It's the sustaining force that takes us into difficult situations. That takes us into places where we would not generally go. And I want to encourage us this morning, don't settle. Don't settle for what you may have thought to be the love of God, but actually going like, Lord, like a young child, go, Lord, I want to know your love in a deeper way. But I want to know your love in a closer way. I want to burn with your love, God, in a more fiery way, God. We know the scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God loves you. Maybe I want to ask for a moment. Just there where you're at. Can you just close your eyes? This Holy Spirit, we just want to ask in this moment. That you would come and reveal to each and every one of us. With the simple statement just of Jesus that you love us. Is really something that we are open to in our hearts. Open to receive it. Open to walk with it. Open to work with what you want to do through it. And so just there where you're at, with your eyes closed, I'm going to ask you, like, just ask the Lord, Lord, would you come and reveal your love to me? See, God's love, when it comes, there's something that happens in us that makes us want to love others. And it draws us into where God is. And just like God, when He spoke about man and creating man, like the reason for it was to take something of His likeness to rule what He has created. And so when we come to the love of God, that same love of God then activates something in us to come something like what God is doing. And God is moving. God is working. God is doing something in the earth. And it brings me to my second point that I want to leave here with us this morning. Is that as we're being filled with the fullness of the measure of God's love, the place where we get filled is not just in sitting down and going, okay, cool, I'm loved. But it's actually, there's a journey that God takes us on. And as we join God in that journey, as we hear His footsteps, run to Him, feel His embrace. Like His first question to Adam was not like, why are you hiding from me? Probably even he knew Adam was hiding from me. He probably could just say, what are you doing? You know, sometimes when my kids go quiet, I go like, oh, wait. Girls, what are you doing? You know, it's like, I know. No, God was, Adam, where are you? And that's so open. It's like, actually, I want to be with you. Where are you? And I believe in the same way, God is calling us here in a place of where He wants to love us. And as He loves us, He's going, where are you? Let's go. He wants to walk with us. He wants to walk with us in the cool of the day. And the place of don't settle is actually the joy that we have in this life is that we get to discover life with God. We get to walk with Him, that we get to talk with Him, that we get to see Him move. And as we see Him move and do, we experience more of His love. And that love and the understanding, the fullness of His love gets revealed in our hearts, because it's not any longer just how God loves me, but I get to see actually how God loves, how God moves because of His love, how the unlovable, like myself, like Kala shared, becomes into a place of where we are loved, into a place we could never even have dreamed of. And God wants to include you and me in that process. But it needs for you and me to not settle. It needs for you and me to actually say, Lord, we want to follow Your walking. We want to walk where You walk. Let me get this. 1 Peter 1. Verse 18 to 20. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver and gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life, handed down from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in the last times for your sake. And the place I want to focus on is you were not bought with perishable things like such as silver or gold, but that you were redeemed from an empty life. You were redeemed from an empty life handed down to you from your ancestors. And there's something about, I think, culture and our day and age, where even in the church, we can think of God that if I get that job that I'm praying for, if my kids are healthy, if I am healthy, if I've got that provision for that thing, we see God and all the blessings of God. And once we don't experience what we presume to be the blessing of God, we actually wonder, is God really with me? Is God really doing something? Is He really busy? And I want to say to us, the empty way of the way the world thinks has sometimes crept into us, where we are looking for the good life. Where we are looking like Stellenbosch in all its beauty. But I want to say to you, are you willing to give it up for the sake of the kingdom? Are you willing to say, God, I'm going to follow Your footsteps, even if it takes me to Bloemfontein? I come from Bloemfontein, so I can diss it, okay? It's too hard. Are we willing to follow God in those places where it seems like it's not blessed? Are we willing to say no for that promotion? It's going to give me more money. It's going to allow me to have that car, to buy that house. Each meet where we come from, it's a very settled area. It's very settled. And so easily, I can find my heart. I'm being just on, like honest and vulnerable here. So easily, I can find my heart to say, Lord, oh, I would love to buy a house. Just to, and I know that it's because I want to settle. And then often I've got to have the Lord come. Rian, what did I call you for? Rian, are you willing to follow me? Rian. And I realize, okay, wait. Lord, I don't need the house. I don't need to buy it. I will rent for the rest of my life, regardless of whatever finances like people are saying or whatever. But I'm going like, Lord, I don't want one thing in my life to bog me down or to keep me limited from following your footsteps where you are going. And I want to say to us here, Stellenbosch, are you settling? Or are you saying, Lord, where's your footsteps? Lord, we are like a meerkat that's going like, they stand up in the field and they go like, and if they hear something, it's like, they're gone. Are we hearing the Lord? Are we, is our ears towards Him? Because the thing is this. Let's maybe read a scripture and then I'll go into it. Psalm 23. We know this scripture very well. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely Your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. When we read that scripture, we can so easily come to that place of actually the blessings of God that needs to follow me, the blessing of God that needs to be where I'm at. But when I read that scripture from the and put the lens of Emmanuel, God with us. If I put that lens over reading that, what I'm reading is I'm hearing someone that is saying, it doesn't matter where I go. It doesn't matter where He leads me. He is always with me. And Him being with me, I find that even if my enemy is sitting right in front of me, He comes because He is with me and He gives me a table to dine at. He comes and He gives me green water or green fields and pastures to find my way in. He is my provision. I'll fear no evil. His rod and His staff that comfort me. So even in the places where I kind of like veer off or potentially even get fearful, I can feel His rod and His staff draw me closer, just to remind me I'm right here. And so what I see in that is I see adventure. See, it's not the mundane life. It's not the I've got everything fixed and I've got everything done. But it's actually, God, You have done it. You continue to do it. And I'm excited about where You're going to take me. I'm excited for where You're going to put my table. I'm excited for the places where You're going to provide for me. And I believe that's for us something that the Lord wants to come and do this morning. He's looking for us to say, yes, God, we want to discover and walk with You. I often think of this. I think of one day when I get into heaven. And I meet with Him. I don't want to, in that moment, have Him show me the life He had intended for me versus the life that I chose. When I come to Him in that day, I want to say, God, like, I want to have lived out His plan for my life. Because in that, I might not have always security. I might sometimes face difficulties in health, in finances, in relationships, in whatever it is. But through everything that I face, I will know His hand and His signature has been all along the way. And that at the end of the day, I can't do that in heaven one day. I can't see Him working in heaven one day in situations that just look like, God, if you're not going to come through here, we're all dying. If you're not going to come through here, God, everyone is losing. I can't get that in heaven. Now, in heaven one day, everything will be revealed and we will see and we will enjoy Him. But there won't be the discovery of Him working in our lives. There won't be the discovery of walking with Him and seeing how He works and seeing what He does and seeing actually the way everything seems hopeless, that He comes through and you go like, whoa, look at what God has done. We, in this week, had a situation where it just seemed like everything was going to pot, the family of ours. And at the last moment, I can't necessarily go into the details, but just that story is now here in my mind, and I've got to finish it. But in the last moment, God came through, and it's like even the lawyers and people involved go like, "This is, we've not seen this happen. Doesn't make sense." And you go like, "We prayed. It makes sense. We prayed and we trusted God, and God came through." And I want to ask you here today, how much space is there really for God to work in your life? Or is it just, okay, the finances is good, the wife is good, the kids are healthy, we've got everything. Thank you, Lord. You've given me a blessed life. And so, I'm ending off here. Romans 12 says this. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and a holy sacrifice, the kind He finds acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. It's about what He has done, and because of what He has done, we give ourselves. Because He loves me, I give myself. Because He loves me, I will go to the darkest places and know that He is with me. I will fear no evil. I will know that even in the face of my enemies, whether I live, whether I die, He is the one that holds me. It's that place of where we give ourselves and say, Lord, You come and have Your way. And not be like the world that looks at blessing the way the world looks at blessing. But actually say, Lord, come and help us see things differently. The way that we think, the way that we feel, the way that we look at what the good life is. God, help us to not settle. God is calling all of us to be those that pour their lives out for His kingdom. And I think that there is nothing in this earth that is as powerful, as dynamic, as amazing to see God move in different places, to see a life where someone is completely against God, and yeah, you get to pray for them, or you get to see God move in a way, and they come and they give their lives to God and say, God, here I am. I acknowledge You as Lord and Savior of my life. I'm Yours. Those moments is more blessed than having all the finances and being able to do everything and buy a house and have all the health. No, I'll rather settle for that. I'll settle for seeing that. And I feel like the Lord is calling us here this morning and say, can you hear my footsteps? And are you willing to follow them where I'm going? So maybe if we can close our eyes.
I kind of keep hearing the words, like, do you trust me? And I feel like that is what the Lord is asking us maybe this morning. Do we trust him? And that scripture that says, those that try to save their lives in this world will lose it. But if you lose your life in this world, surely you will save it. And I think that is something the Lord is calling us today, is to recognize that he is good and that we can trust him. And if there's anything in this world that we are scared of losing, then we have to be honest with ourselves and say we haven't then surrendered that to him. If there's anything in our lives that we are scared of losing, it means we're holding on to our lives. But if we trust him, we could lose our lives in this world and still be safe and have such confidence that he is able, that he is good, and he does good.
So I want to give the opportunity here this morning that maybe you are sitting here this morning and you realize, actually, Rian, I've never even heard the voice or the footsteps of God. And something this morning in the worship or even in seeing people praying for different people and hearing the words going out, you realize, hey, there's something else at work here. And I'm hearing something of what these guys are about. And if you are here this morning and you've never given your life to him, I wanna give you an invitation, because the invitation to you is the same as what it is to me. God is saying, come and walk with me. Come and find life and life eternal with me. And this morning, if that's you, I want to ask you to be bold in this moment. And to realize, like, that is the only place where we will find truly love and what life means and what it is to give ourselves to him. And if that's you this morning, I want to ask that to be bold and actually go, Rian, I don't want to hide away anymore. I don't want to be hungry, thirsty, confused about where to go. Like, I want to hear the footsteps of God and walk with him and be part of his kingdom. If that's you this morning, I want to ask, just to try and be bold and just put your hand up and go, like, this is me. Because we would love to pray with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You can just keep your hands up. Thank you, Jesus. And then for some others of us, we have heard the footsteps of God, but because of life and circumstances and things that we've given ourselves to, we hear his footsteps and we hide away from him. And if that is you this morning, I want to invite you to say, don't hide away anymore, but come to him, for his love. And he is the one who redeems, who makes new, and he's got a life of walking with you that he wants to do. If that is you this morning, I want to ask for you to be also bold. Can you stand up? Stay where you're at. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. So maybe if those guys that's around them, Can we pray with them? Is there any people around them? Just to, there with that. You can stay standing. If we can, where's the church? If we can come around these guys and just pray on them. Just for a moment. Here we go. So Father, we thank you for these brave hearts. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that there is a place of where you come and you invite us in, God, again. God, where you come and you draw us close to you, where you come and you forgive, God, that as we turn to you, that you are faithful to come and save, to come and wash away. And so we thank you for this moment, God, for these bold hearts, God, that saying, Lord, I don't want to hide away anymore. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come. And it just over them, Lord, that you will open up their ears to hear you again, and that you will create an excitement and just shower them with your love, God, an excitement to walk with you and no longer hide away, but find that place of joy, find that place of being able to walk with you. And we pray, Father, just for a boldness and a power, God, to overcome and cast off the things that has kept them in this place of hiding. Jesus. So for the rest of us, I want to ask that if you found yourself in a place this morning and you realize, actually, I've settled for the good life, I've settled for just actually not digging deeper and wanting to actually be those who are passionate for God is like a color and the elders. It's not me. But realizing this morning that actually it is for me. And actually I need to give myself. I want to ask if you can join me and the rest of the guys standing up and just as a response to the Lord, saying, Lord, here I am. I don't want to settle. I want to live for you fully. So if that's you, can I ask you to stand? Thank you, Lord. So maybe there where you're at, I want to ask if you can just open up your hands as if you are presenting something to the Lord. God, we want to thank you this morning that you are faithful. That you are faithful to take our few loaves of bread and our few fishes and feed the multitudes. That is what our lives in your hands look like. And I pray for each and every person here this morning, God, that where there's been a settling, I pray, Lord, that you will come through your Holy Spirit and that you will shake off the dust, God, that there where our feet have become calcified, where our minds have become settled and happy with the good life and the way that things are, I pray, God, that there will be a shaking loose of those things. And I pray, Father, just that you would come and that you would open up our eyes and in some sense open up our senses to hear, to smell, to see in a different way, God. That we would find your footsteps, that we would be looking, God, for where you are at. And that anything and everything that is holding us back from walking with you, God, that we would be quick to let those things down, God. Thank you, God, that you have called us to be a people, God, that extend and advance your kingdom. And I pray, Father, over this congregation, over this household, Lord, I pray for signs, that wonders, and miracles, God, that where people saying like, Lord, come and have your way, that people will recognize God is moving with these people and they are moving with their God. I pray, Lord, that we will see things differently. And that we will start expecting greater things, God, even than what you have done. That we will trust for greater things to see it in our day and age, God. That we will contend and give our lives for your kingdom and for your kingdom's sake. And so we thank you, God. We thank you for the lives that you've touched here this morning, God. We pray, Jesus, again, would you come and have your way in us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Just, I,